You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
Hello again, Tamara here, your innovation guide and lover of funky rings. They're the last thing I put on every time I get dressed. Like, they complete the outfit. I kind of think of them as my creative armor for daily battle against status quo. Pew, pew. I don't know why I need to make the lightsaber sound, but it felt right. So here's the thing. Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I had a super cool, super talent, you know, like an athlete or a celebrity? I know I've thought that. Envy sets in and I start to feel kind of inadequate. That is why I had Mark Henson on, author of Ordinary Superpowers, lifelong entrepreneur, and the founder of Sparkspace, a unique and exceptional business retreat center in Columbus, Ohio. I had him on outside Launch Street. He broke down the quote unquote, only special people have superpowers myth. In fact, he'll help you understand how to unlock your ordinary superpowers. Why ordinary? Great question. That's what I was wondering too. Because it's probably something you do every single day. In fact, according to Mark, it's so hardwired into you that you may not even see it. But it can be one of your greatest assets. He will also help you understand how unlocking that superpower equals having a greater impact on what matters to you and the people around you. It was a really fascinating interview. He also shares how the badge of being busy is sucking success out from under you, which I could not agree with more, and why living to your ordinary superpowers gives you a super ordinary life. I like his take on how everyone's superpowers are unique to each person, kind of like your thumbprint. So yours are unique and they're different than mine. Isn't that cool? And speaking of unique, Mark's unique innovator archetype is risk-taking imaginative. So what does that mean? That means he innovates in those uncomfortable moments and creates innovation in the gaps where information doesn't yet exist, new and novel. That might be like some of you Launch Streeters out there. But as he said, it's unique. And what's even more special about Mark is that he's tapping his innovator archetype to bring more innovation to the world every single day. I think you're going to hear it in how he talks about some of the leaps that he's taken, some of the new ideas he's imagined up. All right, time to listen in. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, this is exciting to be here.
I'm excited. So let's dig in. What's the one thing people would be surprised to learn about you?
I was a disc jockey.
What?
I was a radio disc jockey for years.
How did you get into that?
Well, that's what I thought I wanted to be when I grew up, you know. When I was a kid, when I was in seventh grade, we had some local DJs come in and DJ one of our junior high, very awkward junior high dances. And I knew from that minute on that I wanted to be a DJ. And so that's what I pursued from that moment through college and several years beyond. And that's what I did with my life. I made a living. I say I made a living, but I made like $5 an hour. It was a very low paying job, but it was
fun. That, you know, it dates us a little bit, doesn't it? That you wanted to be that and that I knew what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
So you wrote a book titled Ordinary Superpowers, Unleash the Full Potential of Your Most Natural Talents. So you sent me a copy ahead of time and it came with a mask, which I'm wearing right now, just FYI. And I loved it.
I wear mine 24/7.
I mean, you should wear it, right? Like when you have a mask, when one should wear it. So I actually want to start with, why do you call it ordinary superpowers? Because I think we hear superpowers and we think like for the special or this like ridiculously amazing thing that we have to access, but you call it ordinary.
Yeah, that idea of superpowers, people always feel like that's those people who can sing so well they win American Idol, or the Michael Jordan, you know, or LeBron James. They're so far more talented than the rest of us that they have these superpowers. But I believe that we all have superpowers. They just might not show up quite as strong as LeBron James or American Idol winners. They're those talents and abilities and skills that we have that allow us to help the most people, allow us to have the most impact. They're where we get our best results. And very often, because of the fact that they're hardwired into us to a degree, we often overlook them. We often don't realize how special they are. everyone around us probably does, but we somehow fail to recognize that we have these superpowers. So to us, they just feel ordinary. And that's why I came up with the name Ordinary Superpowers. The things that are really special about us, sometimes we don't think are all that special.
So talents, abilities, skills, and impact is what I heard you say. Will you share with us your ordinary superpowers so we can wrap our heads around the fact that maybe it's not the flashy things like playing basketball or knowing how to sing, but it's other things that show up every day, right?
Very simple things. The things you do all the time and you probably don't even realize it. Like for me, my ordinary superpowers are exploring new things. So I love to brainstorm. I love to ideate. I love to explore new places. I love to meet new people, all of that. That's one of them for me. Another one is I simplify things. I have this tendency to always want to dumb everything down, mostly because that's the only way I can understand most things. So that was one it took me a long time to recognize was actually a superpower because it was something I felt like I only did to serve me. So simplifying things is my second one. And then my third one is communicating mainly through writing, but also speaking. I love to speak as well. And in the process of writing the book, I actually identified a fourth one that I didn't really know I had until I just kept thinking about these things over and over. And that was I include the unincluded. I hate for anyone to be outside of a circle. And so I will always do everything I can to bring them back into the conversation or into the circle so people don't feel
left
out. So funny.
I'm only laughing because I have two boys. They're 13 and 9. And they were laughing at me because I can't plan any of their birthday parties without including everybody in the class. Because the idea of like that kid who doesn't get invited just breaks my heart.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah, I hate it.
Now, here's what I want to understand, though. How did you discover these? Because I think, you know, if I'm a launch trader out there listening, I'm thinking, yes, I have these powers, but I don't know that we always know what they are. So how do you even figure this out?
It's a process of inquiry and discovery, you know, digging into yourself and really taking the time to evaluate what it is that is kind of unique and special about you, even if you feel like maybe it isn't. And my process actually started years ago because I had been using my superpowers to build my business. And there came this point where I stopped being that creator of the business and started being the administrator of the business. And that did not use my superpowers at all. And so my superpowers kind of went dormant for a while. And I got really bummed out about that. In fact, looking back now, I realized that I actually, by letting go of my superpowers and putting all my energy and focus into non-superpower activities for an extended period of time, I actually entered in a long period of low-level depression. And to the point where I finally had to, I had to pull myself out of it. I had to say, there's got to be something I can do. I actually took a 7-week sabbatical away from work. I was in every program I could think of to try to like reignite my passion. And what it came down to was the thing that worked the best for me as step one out of that funk, out of that depression was, let me just figure out what I'm really good at.
So go back to the basics almost.
And just do that as much as I can. Just go back to the basics. What is it that lights me up? What am I good at? What do I seem to be better at than most people? What do I do that seems to have the best result or the most positive impact on the people around me? Let me just focus on doing those. So I identified what those are. And I literally went through a process of like, you know, the process that I actually write about in the book of just identifying what are all the things that I'm good at and then narrowing that down to the top 3 or 4 and then putting a vast amount of energy and effort into doing those as much as possible.
So how did that change once you realize those things? Like I think like you said earlier, right? Exploration, simplify, communicating, inclusion. How did that change how you operated day to day? What did you stop doing? Did you start doing anything different?
Yeah, you know, you hit on something very key there. A lot of it is stopping the stuff that's not serving you well. You know, a lot of the things that I was doing as the administrator of my business, I started offloading that stuff to other people. Those tasks and duties that really didn't play to my strengths, but for some reason I felt like they were my responsibility. So I started delegating more and I started letting go of things. So when I would look at everything and if it didn't feel fun or right, or that I was having impact with it, I would give it some serious evaluation of, do I even need to do this at all? And when people stop and do that, when you take an inventory of how you spend your time and your energy, you can always find things that you're like, why am I doing that at all?
Right. Why is that even so? It's so funny because it's almost like a habit that you just get into and you don't even know you're doing it and you're working against yourself.
And you pretend that it needs to be done.
Yeah, right.
It's like I always tell people, like, there's no coroner's report in the world that lists unfolded laundry as a cause of death.
There are days where I feel that way about matching socks. And I was like, you know what? This doesn't have to get done today. Come on now.
And honestly, what would be the worst thing that would happen if you wore mismatched socks every day of your life?
I'm wearing mismatched socks right now. So
nothing bad would happen.
Actually, it makes me feel more creative because I look down and it makes me laugh a little bit.
And other people would think you're more creative. Right? Like, there's that crazy sock lady again.
So if you are, whether you're an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur, but let's say you can't delegate, right? Let's say you're not in that position to off-put work. You've got stuff that you have to do. Maybe it's because you don't have the resources to delegate, or maybe it's because that's part of your job. Can you think about approaching that work differently when you understand your ordinary superpowers?
Sure. Yeah. And that's where I feel like, you know, put your first and best effort into those abilities and talents and skills and tasks and roles and everything else that do play to your superpowers. And then, you know, find a way to do the other stuff too, but I don't worry so much about it. I really do believe that if we focus on our strengths rather than our weaknesses, we always come out ahead. And yeah, there's always stuff you just have to do. Like I can't pretend to use my superpowers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know, somebody still does have to fold the laundry and match up the socks once in a while. And that's okay. There's just stuff we have to do too. But just by focusing on the things that light you up more, that you have the greatest impact, what you find is that the more you focus on that, the more you start getting those opportunities. And then, like you said, your resources actually grow. Like when I first started delegating things, I didn't have that many people to delegate to. And now my team has actually grown around me because I'm focusing on the things that matter to me, that I have the biggest impact, that make actually the most money in my business and everything else. So now I have more resources than when I first started this journey.
I would have to imagine too that, you know, in those times now when you have to do the things that maybe don't totally speak to your superpowers, that those things actually become easier because you're lit up so more often. And because those things don't seem so bad because they're just one little thing that's going to, you know, you're going to get it done and then move on to something that really speaks to you.
True. They become kind of minor annoyances at that point. But the one thing I would say is that so many of these things that we feel like we have to do and we don't have a resource to delegate to, I would even challenge that thinking as much as possible. And I'll use my own household, for example. My wife is, she's a doer. She just goes and goes and goes. She hardly ever, you know, sits down and is just still. And so if she's watching TV, she's folding laundry, she's paying the bills, she's making her to-do list, she's multitasking like crazy. And sometimes she gets in that mode and she doesn't realize, like, hey, my husband could probably fold this laundry because he's sitting there doing nothing. But she never stops to ask. She never even thinks about it. She just takes it on as like, that's just what she has to do. And I do the same thing. There are lots of things, like in our house, I tend to do the dishes more than anybody else. And I just have assumed it's my responsibility, even though I don't really enjoy it. And I could very easily stop and say to one of my kids or my wife, hey, would you do the dishes for the next 3 days so I can focus on some other stuff? But I just never think to do that.
It's just a habit.
It is.
I want to dig in. You had said about challenging that. And you also said earlier about, like, we pretend that we need to do stuff. And I think in some ways, that's because in our culture, being busy is equated with being successful. And it's not always a good thing, right? In fact, in my opinion, it's actually a bad thing. So,
me too.
But we look at someone who's super busy and we go, oh my God, like, wow, they have no time. They are so successful. Look how busy they are. What are some of those things that you find in work too that are those, you know, we're just being George Costanza. We're just looking busy, but it's not actually moving the needle.
About 95% of what I do every day.
Sweet.
And everybody does every day.
Yeah.
It's just busy is just a badge of honor for some reason. And I hate it. And, you know, it's part of it is the 9-to-5 work mentality. So we have to go to work. We got to be there from 9 to 5. And while we're there, we probably ought to get something done. And what if you went to work every day, you got your work done and you left and you didn't worry about being busy? Now, I know like your boss would be like, well, why are we paying this person who's not even here? But, you know, I kind of think if you're getting your work done, if you're having that kind of impact, then be okay with not being busy. Like, it's totally fine. But our culture and just our mentality that we've developed over decades has just led us to this point where we feel like we have to be in motion all of the time. And it leads to that monkey mind thing where we're just always going. We never stop. The hardest thing for people to do anymore is to just sit still and be. And that's why you see mindfulness is coming up a lot now, because there's this sort of blowback against that mentality.
You know, it's funny, as you were sharing that, it was reminding me of years ago when I was in my 20s. I had that mindset of, I'm going to get my work done, I'm going to do it really well, and then I'm going to leave or go do something else because I'm done. And I know in my head, right, that I'm still thinking about things. Things are percolating, but I'm not going to be at my computer at my desk. And I got into a world of trouble with my boss, because in her mind, me not being there physically sitting at my desk meant I wasn't dedicated to my work. And I said to her, and I remember, I'll never forget the conversation, because I was sitting in her office at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. She'd called me in early. And I remember saying to her, is there something I'm not doing that you wish I was doing more of? And she couldn't come up with anything, but it was almost beat out of me. You know, the whole like, oh, just do it right, do it well, and then go do something else. And I got back into that 9 to 5. And so kind of with that story, I wanted to get your perspective on it. Why do we get so out of alignment? I mean, you said in your own personal story that you kind of got out and it led to you not feeling so great. And I think that removes us, right, from those ordinary superpowers you mentioned. So why do we keep getting so out of alignment, even when we know it feels good to unleash that?
Because we've been taught a definition of success that doesn't matter. We've been taught that success means prestige or money or power or corner office or a certain pathway through life or work or a certain level to achieve, you know, a million different ideas of what success looks like. But it very often looks like a path that we probably shouldn't take because it doesn't align with who we are and what our superpowers really are. Good example of this was the company I used to work for. It was a great company and I loved working there, but the only apparent way to advance through that company was to become a project manager first. So it was a design firm. So we had copywriters and designers and engineers and all kinds of different sort of creative folk. And I was a copywriter. And so looking at the only upward path there was to become a project manager and then to become a department head and then to become a vice president and blah, blah, blah. And that was it. There was no other way to advance. You couldn't even advance in your own sort of skill area. I couldn't become like a senior copywriter and then a super senior copywriter or anything like that. It was
interesting leap too, from copywriter to project manager. Like that doesn't actually make sense.
Worst leap ever.
Yeah.
Because I tried it.
Who wants that?
Because I begged and begged and begged. I mean, please give me a project. Please give me a project. Because I thought that was the only path I could take. And they eventually gave me a project and I failed miserably.
Yeah, they're two different
skills. I hated it. It did not play into my powers. It didn't even play into powers I wanted to develop. You know what I mean? It was like, I did one project. I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm good. I'm good being a copywriter. I'll just stay over here.
Wow. You're so right about that. It is about, we tend to get on other people's paths. And then that just starts to kind of strip us of our ordinary superpowers, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I'm an entrepreneur, so you'd think I'd have all kinds of control over my own path. But like I said, I started my own business using my superpowers and I didn't really know that's what I was doing at the time. It just fully aligned, right? It was a fully aligned mission for me. And then at one point it wasn't anymore, but it took me a long time to recognize that that's what happened. And then I finally got back on what I consider to be the right path for me, off that wrong path and on the right one.
What are some of the other ordinary superpowers you've seen identified and come out of people who have read your book?
Oh, gosh, there is literally as vast as there are people in the world. And that's the beauty of it. You know, a lot of the personality profiles and strength profiles like StrengthsFinder or DISC or Myers-Briggs or any of those, What those things do, you take those assessments and then they put you in a bucket with a whole bunch of other people that are, you know, like there's this whole group of people that are just like you and they describe it and it's accurate. But the idea of superpowers is that yours are yours and yours alone, and mine are mine and mine alone. My combination is very unique to me. It's like a fingerprint, and yours is very unique to you, and everybody else's is very unique to them individually. So I've heard everything across the board from things like, you know, superpowers of being extremely organized. That's one I hear. Empathy is a superpower. Being sensitive to, that's the same thing as empathy, being sensitive to other people's needs or seeing unmet needs and then doing something about it is one of my former employees' superpowers. She just had this ability to see, you know, anything that needed to be done that other people couldn't see or just weren't paying attention to. And she would just dive right into that. It was kind of her winning formula. It was one of her superpowers.
So let me ask you this. So I was just writing as you were saying that what I think my top four are.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. So I think one of them is being able to see opportunities where other people see gap. I'm really good at figuring out like, whoa, there's a nugget here that nobody's paying attention to yet. I think the other one is communication. I do a lot of keynote speaking and a lot of communication. So maybe that's a skill that's been acquired over time, but I'm really good at that communication. I think the other big one for me, which is no surprise given what I do, is an incredible ability to see things differently. And I think more importantly, or maybe this is the skill, to get other people to see things differently too, especially when they're stuck. And then I think I also have the one of simplification. So here's my question for you is if I think those are mine, how do I test it so that I know that that's what it is and that I can continue to or should continue to play to that?
Sure. I actually have a 4-part test that I outline in the book. It's really super simple. And as you sort of identify what these potential superpowers are for you. And when we do this in a workshop, like we have this workshop called the Superpower Summit that we do once a quarter, we really dive into identifying everything that possibly could be a superpower for you and then going through a narrowing down process and finally applying this 4-part test. For the first part of the test is, does it come naturally to you? Asking yourself this question, does it come naturally to me? And it doesn't mean, you mentioned a minute ago about one of your powers that the keynote speaking, I think, where it's something you may have developed along the way. Totally fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to be born with it. A superpower can be developed or uncovered later in life. That's fine. It doesn't have to be like, I've done this ever since the minute I popped out of the womb. That's not necessarily what a superpower is. So first of all, it comes naturally to you. And when I say that, I mean, it feels natural to you right now at this point in your life.
Okay.
The second part of the test is that when you look around at your circle of friends and family and coworkers and your little community that you kind of live in every day, are you better at that? Do you have an elevated level of that skill or talent above your circle? You don't have to be the best in the world at it. You don't have to be the LeBron James of it. But just when you look around, you're like, yeah, actually I am kind of better at keynote speaking, or I am better at pulling out information out of other people than just about anybody I know. Third part of the test, does it help anybody? Does that skill or ability help anybody besides you? I guarantee it helps you, but does it help anybody else?
So do you have an impact with it?
Yeah. Does it have a positive influence on other people in some way, big or small? It does not have to change the entire world. It just has to have an impact positively on the world around you. And that qualifies to me. And then the fourth part of the test is, do you like it? Do you enjoy using it? Does using that power actually give you energy back?
Does it juice you up? Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't mean you're never tired or you're never depleted, but it's different when you get tired and depleted doing things that don't normally light you up, then you're just exhausted.
Right.
When you use a superpower, even though you might be tired at the end of the day, it's that good tired, right? Like where you're like, wow, that was awesome and exhausting. And I can't wait to sort of recharge my batteries and do it again.
So here's what I want Launch Streeters listening out there to do. First of all, buy the book because it was absolutely fantastic. Second, I want you to think about what are the things that you do incredibly well that other people around you don't. I think as you said, elevated level above your circle. What are the things that people go to you for? because you are just so darn good at it. Don't you find sometimes too, people come to you for stuff all the time, and if you really thought about it, you'd think, oh, gosh, God, I am really good at creative problem solving, or I'm really good at seeing the gaps. That's what people always ask me for. I just didn't realize it.
It's one of the ways to identify what your potential superpowers are is, what do people always ask you for help with? For me, people always want to sit down, and they say they want to pick my brain, but what it is they want me to sit and brainstorm with them.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, started becoming apparent to me that, wow, like, people actually look at me as being able to do that pretty well. So I should take note of that.
In the book, you have a chapter titled Understanding Your Default Operation System. And I have to tell you, when I got to that chapter, I thought it was going to be, oh, these are the things and the habits, the routines that I get into that are bogging me down. But it wasn't quite that. In fact, it was quite different. Will you talk about what how you view the operating system and why we should think about that?
Sure. You know, an operating system, like on a computer, on the Mac, it's the iOS, on the PC, it's the Windows operating system. It's that sort of underlying system that more or less, I don't want to say controls everything, but it affects everything, and it keeps it running, and everything sort of runs through it. And I think our superpowers are that underlying operating system that happens sort of by default. So there's a good side to that, and there's a bad side to that. So you have to be aware of both the light side and the dark side, right? The light side, the good side of it is we default back to this operating system over and over. When we're thrown into a situation, we tend to use our superpowers very reactively. And because they're our superpowers, because they're the things that we're very good at, that we naturally gravitate to, all of that, we can also tend to use those too much. We can use them in situations where we might want to back off, and that's the dark side. There's always this sort of pendulum on the other side where, for instance, if I'm using, I like to kick into brainstorming mode a lot. I will brainstorm all day, every day with anybody who'll sit down and generate ideas with me. But I've noticed there are times when I do that with people that their eyes glaze over. They're just not, they're either not in the mood, or they're not capable, or their brain doesn't work that way.
They don't want it.
Or they don't want it right now. Like, I don't need your ideas. I need a decision or whatever, right? So I have to realize that I've kind of maybe overstepped with my superpower there. That's the dark side of our powers, is we can actually use them too much. The reason I call it the default operating system is because it is our default. And what I want to get people to is to recognize how powerful these powers are, and then proactively start looking for ways to use those for the most positive impact. And also obviously that includes, like, looking for those times when maybe I've overstepped with my powers, or maybe they're not having the effect that I want because they're so powerful when I use them.
I have that sometimes in the seeing opportunities or gaps, is people are like, all right, we're done here. I don't need any more opportunities. I need to move forward with what I have. And I'm like, right, but look at that shiny ball over there. Like, it's a possibility.
Yeah. And one thing to do with that is to really, you got to tune into other people. It's where you become very self-aware. You don't necessarily become super self-aware by, you know, looking at how you think and feel. It's how are you affecting other people? That's real self-awareness, where when I say something, or I do something, or I use my superpower, and they either light up or they glaze over, what's happening there? I need to read that, because that's giving me a real clue into my own self-awareness of what's a strength, what's not, what's powerful, what's not, where is the most appropriate place to use my power, all of that.
You know, I really appreciated that chapter. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think there's a lot of permission and freedom in, and ease actually, in being able to just simply tap your default system for what's so amazing about you, versus trying to, you know, search the universe for this epic skill that's gonna, you know, change your life. I'm sure that the people who have read your book kind of have given you a little bit of that same feedback too. It just, to me, that felt very like, okay, it's already in me. I've got it running. It knows what to do. I just need to access it if I'm not.
Yeah, one of the biggest emotions I think that people have when they read this book is relief. You know, it's exactly what you said, that, oh, wow, I don't have to have that supernatural superpower to make an impact. I can just be me. Oh, that's such a relief. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I felt after reading. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is way easier than trying to come up with some incredibly clever skill that I want, maybe, but I really don't have. But I've got all this stuff inside of me, so I'll just tap that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that pressure is on us from the entire world. Like, if you watch TV, it's all about superpower. I mean, look at the movies even now. Like, superheroes are the big moneymaker at the movies. We love to see these people with these supernatural abilities doing all kinds of amazing things and saving the world. And we would love to do that ourselves. We would aspire to the same things. But the fact is, you know, most of us, we haven't been gifted that supernatural superpower. So we've got the ordinary superpowers to work with. Let's stick to those.
So how does tapping those ordinary superpowers help you create a superpowered life?
It's, to me, one component of a superpowered life. And the weird thing is that I don't think there is a single definition of a superpowered life. To me, a superpowered life is, what's the life that you want to live? What's the life that really lights you up? For some people, you know, work is super important to them, and that really lights them up, and that's where they have a huge impact on the world. Other people, it's family. Other people, it's community and service. And all of it is okay. That's the thing I think we need to realize, is there is no one right or wrong in any of this. It's what lights you up. I think if there's any sort of calling that's placed on us, aside from, you know, I do think there, once in a while, there is somebody is called to do something. You know, they have that very clear vision of, I am built to do this thing and do it the rest of my life. For the rest of us, though, I think the calling is just be authentic to who you are. And whatever that is, if it's serving your community in a nonprofit and going all out with that, that's great. If it's building a big business that generates all kinds of money and profit so you can do good things and serve people that way, fine. If it's being with your family and really nurturing that, that's great too. So there's no right or wrong. It's whatever lights you up. To me, that's what a superpowered life is. But the way to kind of figure some of that out is to identify, what are my ordinary superpowers? It is a great first step to saying, okay, now that I know what those are, I know what types of activities and roles and tasks and abilities light me up when I use them. Now, where can I apply those in the parts of my life that I feel are the most important?
Now, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but I'd love to hear you say it. I'm going to assume that every single person has an ordinary superpower. So nobody out there could tell us, not me, I'm average at everything.
You hit it on the head. It's everybody has it. I do hear a lot of people say, I don't think I have them, or I don't know what mine are yet. And I love to, you know, talk further to those people. In fact, I actually do one-on-one coaching with people to try to help draw it out of them. And I've never found a person yet who doesn't have a superpower.
Well, I do think that, first of all, I'm thrilled that you do one-on-one coaching, because I do think that for a lot of us out there, we've gotten bogged down by the day-to-day or by being on other people's paths for so long that we have forgotten our own superpowers. It's almost like we have to unlearn the habits and routines and the things that we've come to kind of just take for granted and get back to that. We work, you know, a lot with clients too, and it's just the number of people I talk to in the innovation space in particular who say, I'm not innovative, but it's because I think they've been shoving it in a drawer for so long. And I think the same thing is true for the superpowers. If you shove it in a drawer for so long, you just kind of forget it's there.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask those people who say they're not innovative, it's like, did you ever figure out how to do something you didn't know how to do?
Right. Well, have you ever been lost and then had to figure out where you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just have a different definition of what that means in their head, right?
Well, to your point about the media and being busy, I think with innovation, it's often the same as we put up on the pedestal the people who have these breakthrough, game-changing,
You're not Steve Jobs, you're not innovative, right?
Exactly, right? You got to be one of those guys on the cover of Fast Company magazine in a hoodie. But there's a million ways to innovate. So let me bring innovation back to superpowers for a second. How does tapping your ordinary superpowers help you be more creative or innovative and vice versa?
Oh, that's a good question. That's one I've never been asked before. But, you know, as I think about it, I think it, to me, it all comes down to authenticity. You know, my goal with this book is to get everybody to start thinking about, you know, what's that 100% authentic version of myself? And do I enjoy and love that person? And can I make a difference with that person? And knowing what your ordinary superpowers are is that sort of step towards that authenticity. Now, the reason I said all that is because I think the only place where real true creativity comes from is when we can be completely authentic. I think that's when your creativity comes out, and it can take all kinds of different forms. For some, it's artistic. For some, it's mechanical. For some, it's, you know, relational. It doesn't matter. Like, but I think we kind of, like, we all have superpowers. I feel like we all have creative ability. We have the ability to create the life we want, to create the kind of impact we want. Some of us have the ability to create amazing products and services. I mean, creativity takes a lot of different forms, and I wish people would relax on that a little bit, let themselves off the hook that it's all about being Picasso or Steve Jobs.
Well, I think what you said is dead on. It's not about the outcome. It's about the process. And we all do it a little bit differently, which, by the way, I have to tell you. So we're speaking of assessments. You took ours. We have one that tells you how you innovate. And you came out as a risk taker imaginative. And I love it when I know ahead of time, because then I can hear, like, listen to your language and kind of hear how you talk about stuff. And what's been interesting to me is, you know, risk takers are all about taking that leap, being willing to be uncomfortable, put stuff out there, you know, speak up when other people don't, you know, seeing the bigger picture. And the imaginative side is all about creating things from scratch, new and novel, which I think in your answer about, like, or, you know, ordinary superpowers or anything, and they're as vast as, you know, humans and our diversity and all of that. So I'm curious, just from your perspective, how is your ability to take leaps in and being willing to be uncomfortable and your ability to kind of come up with new and novel ideas or approaches, how has that helped you in your life?
Oh, it helped me start a business that has been very successful and helped me create the kind of life I want. And it's weird because, the story that I've told you today is that I started this business that I have, and then I got away from the risk taking and the idea generation.
Yeah, and that's when you shut down.
And that's when I shut down. And recently, I mean, recently meaning the last couple of years, I have reignited that in myself by identifying my superpowers and some other steps that I've taken. And so now I'm back into that creation mode. And I tell you, the thing for me is that it makes everything worthwhile. Like, when I do those things, when I take risks and when I get to use my imagination, when I get to invent and create new things, that is when I am most alive.
And that's a wonderful feeling.
And it's the best feeling in the world. It's what we all strive for. It's the idea of, for me, that's happiness, is when I get to create.
And I think to what you said earlier about authenticity, that's a big part of innovation, is being willing to dig deep and be vulnerable and bring your real best ideas and thinking forward. And I think when we put that armor on of this is how it should be, or this is how I'm supposed to be, we really shut that side of ourselves down.
We do. And a lot of it's because we fear judgment.
Yeah.
From other people or from the world or even from ourselves. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of it. And to me, being authentic is just saying, hey, look, it's not about thumbing your nose at the world and saying, I don't really care what you think. It's, you know what? This is who I am. I like who I am. I like what I'm doing. I like the stuff that I come up with. And I'm going to look for the people that resonates with. If I don't care about anything, is I don't care about the people that don't resonate with that.
Yeah. And you know what? You don't have to be a fit for everybody.
Right.
I think in reading this book, actually, when I was kind of figuring out my ordinary superpowers, I thought, this is not right for everybody. And that's okay.
No, it's fine. I'm totally okay with that. I realized when I wrote a book that I would read it, my mom would read it, my wife would read it. And beyond that, if I sold a single copy, I'd be happy, you know? That's just the way it is. I know that there's an audience that it'll resonate with and an audience that won't. And I really only care about the ones it'll resonate with.
We know what it kind of reminds me of. If, you know, you see the big blockbuster movies and you ask them, did you know it would be a blockbuster? Almost always their answer is no. We knew we were onto something. We knew we loved it. We knew we put our heart and soul into it. But if you look at some of the flops, you can tell they went in trying to build a blockbuster.
Yes.
And it's just a very different perspective of, hey, I'm going to put my heart and soul in this because these are my ordinary superpowers and this is what I want to create. And hopefully that'll resonate with someone versus I'm going to create something that's selling 100 million copies.
That is a story I've heard over and over and over. In fact, I got consumed by that idea of the world's idea of success, the blockbuster thing, right? I need to hit it big. I need to have a huge audience I need to sell a million copies of my book or have 100,000 people on my blog list or whatever it is. And I started hearing this story pop up everywhere, from Richard Branson to, you know, to the founders of Warby Parker to you name it. There's actually a podcast called How I Made This. It's an NPR podcast, and almost every story has this common element in it of these humongous successes in the world. And there's a point in the story, it's exactly what you just said, of they almost always say the same thing about, I had no idea it would turn out to be this big. All I wanted to do was create this thing and make it as good as possible. And the universe said, okay, I'll take it from here, kind of thing. And so that's how I've adopted my entire world right now, and my book and everything else is, you know what, if the universe wants to blow it up and make it huge, great. If not, my job was to just write the book and get it done, and then do whatever I can to promote it. I mean, I can do a certain amount. And it's the same way with my core business and anything else in my life. But, you know, the rest of it, it's pure luck in some cases.
It's a great life and work lesson, I think, of just, you know, focus on what makes you happy, do your best work, speak up for yourself. I'm not saying just keep your head down, but it's a great life lesson. I love it. So thank you for sharing that. Before I ask you my last question, where can people go to connect with you and learn more?
They can go to markhenson.me, or you can use asuperpoweredlife.com. They both point to my website. That's where you can find the book. You can find out more about me. You can find my blog, anything else that I'm involved in. I'm a Facebook guy. Like, everybody has their own social media favorites. I'm a Facebook. You can find me at A Superpowered Life on Facebook, or at Mark Henson on Facebook. And that's my preferred social media, even though I pop up in other places. Facebook is the one that I use the most.
So go find him on Facebook. Okay, so normally my last question is something about what's one thing you can do, but I'm going to throw a curveball and ask you a bit of a different question. So if I'm a launch shooter out there listening, and let's say I'm starting to think about my ordinary superpowers, here's what I suspect comes next. And I've seen it time and time again with innovation in my own life and others. Sometimes when we make that shift to our higher good, or, you know, to really just rise above it and just really own our stuff and be amazing and be a superpower, be a superhuman, sometimes the people around us actually, I'd say accidentally, I don't think it's malicious, try to drag us down, right? They burst our bubbles just a little bit here and there every day because of their own baggage and their own stuff. What is your advice to people who are dealing with that transition where they've started to really rise up, but maybe they're feeling a little bit of resistance or a little kind of pull back to mediocre from their community?
Oh my gosh, I've got the answer for that.
Woo!
And you've heard it before, and probably all of your listeners have heard it too. You know, go Google Our Deepest Fear poem by Marianne Williamson and read it every day to yourself. You know, it says it's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
Yeah.
We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You know, you're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. There's more to that, but that line, your playing small does not serve the world, and there's nothing enlightened about shrinking so other people won't feel insecure around you. Be you. Be 100% you. And don't worry about what other people are going to think, because that's how you're going to have the most impact. When you let go of that fear of people holding you back or not wanting to, like, let your light shine because, you know, maybe you're going to leave some people behind. You probably will leave some people behind. That's just the way it is. That's life. But your light needs to shine. Shine bright.
Oh, I love it. What a great way to close out. Mark, thank you so much for joining me. This has been absolutely wonderful.
I've really enjoyed it too. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on.
So is your mind spinning too? Yeah, I'm now obsessed with the idea of my ordinary superpower. And I hope you are too. So here's what I want you to do, Launch Streeter. I want you to take some time to figure out your ordinary superpower. And as you're doing that, I want you to go onto iTunes and give Inside Launch Street a great review. If you got just one nugget of insight from any of the number of podcasts we release, give us a rave review. Give us a shout out. Remember, more interviews equals more listens, and more listens equals great interviews like Mark. So in the end, it's kind of selfish. The review is actually for you.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.